Well, thank you for coming to visit our website. I am Dr. Elliot Hong. I am the director of the First Episode Clinic, and I'm also a psychiatrist, a professor at the University of Maryland School of Medicine. I would like to go over a few introduction about our clinic, and also, more importantly, use the opportunity to discuss a few important issues associated with recognizing first episode psychosis, how to help patients and families to manage family members who first experience psychosis. I will boil down to a few of the objectives for this discussion. One is that what is a prodromal versus first episode psychosis break? I will spend some time to explain those terminology a little bit later. Also, more importantly, the challenges facing patients and families experience first psychosis episode. Inevitably, we will talk about treatment options and limitations of current treatment options. And certainly, because of a lot of limitation, we also do a lot of research, try to improve our care for these patients. So I will give a brief update on our current research progress. So the disease cause of psychosis, now the most representative of psychosis really is schizophrenia, although that's not the only illness that have psychosis, but we'll use that as an example. If you orient yourself to the slides, I will go through the typical disease cause of schizophrenia. So you can break it down into about four stages. One is what we call prodrome stage, followed by first episode or first break of psychosis, and then followed by early stage of schizophrenia and late stage of schizophrenia. Now the focus of our clinic really is at the first break of psychosis. So we will talk about what leads to psychosis, that's what's called the prodrome stage. And then after the first break, it's actually the more important part is how do we manage patient in the early stages of psychosis or schizophrenia. Again, if you look at the slides, this is a very simple curve. Try to explain in a visual way how do we conceptualize the disease progression and explain the term prodrome. So at the top of this curve, the number 5, is what we think when a person really have a full-blown psychosis, so to speak. But before that, it's very often, not every patient, so for many patients have a gradual course leading to the psychosis. Starting will be a patient first notice something wrong within him or herself. After a while, maybe the families and friends started noticing something's wrong. Now, this patient may just have a little bit of a deterioration in their schooling and work, but it's not necessarily have a full-blown psychosis yet. But gradually, this patient may starting to notice some subtle psychotic symptoms. And after a while, maybe the families and schools is starting noticing something's wrong. So this is the stage, what we call prodrome stage. If we need to summarize the prodrome period, there's two most common complaints that most patients and families and school notice. One is the change of social interaction in the person. Very often it's social withdrawn. Sometimes it's actually increased odd interaction with each other, with other people. The second part is a deteriorated function in school or at work, okay? Now, it can be very difficult to detect those subtle symptoms. However, it's very important to detect them. Now, the reason is actually very simple is that there's emerging evidence to show that there's a potential treatment options that can, if we detect this early before psychosis, kind of sub-symptoms early, we could have intervention that can either stop the onset of psychosis or at least reduce the severity when psychosis comes. And for this reason, that it's very important that we can try to identify these early symptoms early. So what are the other common symptoms in a prodrome? One is that what we call attenuated positive symptoms. The person may experience distorted perception. They may have some strange thoughts. They may have subtle communication difficulty. Now, there's some patients that actually have psychosis, but very brief, what we call brief intermittent psychotic symptoms. They could have a subtle paranoia and some very transient, very brief auditory hearing voices, kind of auditory hallucination, but last very brief period of time. They could have a subtle functional deterioration and reduced quality in school performance and work performance and develop some odd and disorganized behavior. Now, I can give you an example. One of the patients from our clinic, he also actually published his experience on the website. You can see it in journals. I will read a paragraph for you. So if you're oriented to the slides again, on the second paragraph at the beginning, I'm just going to read this for how this patient described his symptoms. He said that my illness, as is true with all mental illnesses, started with the privacy of my own mind. My thoughts slowly wandered away from the normal range. I began to think less and less about daily life and more about a fantasy created in my mind. I cannot think of anything physical or psychological that could have triggered a change in my mental state. I have wonderful supportive parents, relatives, friends, and I have a wonderful childhood, and so on and so forth. So you can easily look up the article and read it yourself. But it tells the very typical scenario of a prodrome is that it's really something starting to change, be noticed even by the person itself. But he cannot explain it, and the family doesn't know that. And it's very often, if we don't detect this subtle symptom, we can only see it when the person develops full-blown psychosis. But the struggle, also the potential great advantage, if we can find a way to detect, identify this individual early and give them help early on. So once a person develops a psychosis, what do we do? So we're shifting to the next stage. It's the first episode psychosis. Now, when it occurs, everyone knows something is wrong. The most common symptom, one of the most common symptoms is auditory hallucination. So hallucination basically is a sensory perception changes in the absence of external stimuli. In schizophrenia and psychosis, the auditory type of hallucination is most common. The person may develop false beliefs, the beliefs are fixed from an observer's point of view. It's held very tight by the individual. The person can develop disorganized thinking and behavior. They develop lack of motivation and interest in things and become more and more isolated and withdrawn from other people. First episode psychosis is really a very traumatic, stressful experience to the person. It's also a very confusing to the family members, especially for a family that experienced it the first time. It's very difficult for people to understand, for family members to understand. It's even harder to manage a person like that and manage how to which doctor to bring this person to, or is it a school problem, or is it a work problem, or is it really a medical problem? It's very confusing. It typically severely disrupts the schooling and work of the individual. It certainly disrupts the social relationship a lot. That's the kind of things that isolate the patient further when they need the most social support. Isolate them from friends, from people around him or her. So when first episode occurs, there's many questions for the patients, for the families, as well as for clinicians. Now, I'm going to focus to talk about a few areas I think is most commonly encountered, asked, and also most important. That's certainly not all aspects of first episode psychosis, but the main theme is actually very important as well. One question very common is going to be medication involved or no medication involved? Or is it the therapy involved or no therapy? Patient and families, the first question is that will it improve? If we got adequate treatment, the person improved, the next question is that will that relapse? Like, would that occur again, or it can be only one-time thing? And how do we manage school? How do we manage work? Should the person go back to school or stay out of school for a while? It can never return to school? So those are really critical questions. There's possibly not any, most of this does not have a very yes or no answer, but I will try to do my best to go over them. We try to guide our treatment, intervention, and advice to our patient and family really based on evidence, especially based on good research generated evidence. Okay, so this kind of research and evidence can boil down to approximately two areas. One is to do clinical studies to see what is the best strategy prevent onset of psychosis before there's a full-blown psychosis. Another way to generate good evidence how to manage cases is that once a person has a psychosis, what is the best way to improve the outcome when somebody develops first episode psychosis? So there are many researches involved, but can be boiled down to these two directions. So I'm going to go through a few of this kind of research and give you a sense of really where we are. What's the state of the art in terms of intervention based on the best research and evidence available? So I'm hoping you just not see that there's some advantage in some of the intervention, but also want to see that some of the current limitation as well. So you get a balanced view about where we are. So this is one study. If you have access to the slides, just take a look, keep your eyes on the slides. So this is a graph. This is one of the study published a couple years ago. The researchers in this study tried to see whether there's some sort of an intensive psychological intervention that can help to prevent a person experience prodrome symptoms to develop into psychosis, what we call conversion to psychosis. Is that a way that we can stop a person converted to psychosis? So this study, the patients are divided into two groups. One is receive this, what they call integrated psychological intervention. Basically, the person will receive a combination of cognitive behavior therapy, group skills training, cognitive remediation, and multifamily psychoeducation. All this is to put it together as a package to give a very intensive psychological intervention, try to prevent onset of psychosis. The comparative group is what they call a supportive counseling. So that's the standard of care. So if you look at the graph, is that you can see that this is a study that lasted 2.5 years. And that's on the horizontal axis. On the vertical axis, it tells you how many of the percentage of people that converted to a psychosis. So you can see that the group that received standard of care, there's fair amount of the patients converted to have full-blown psychosis, versus the group of patients received intensive psychological intervention. Their rate of converting to psychosis is much less. So it does show that if we recognize prodrome patients early, if we give them very focused treatment, there's a good opportunity to can reduce some of the onset of psychosis. Now, the caveat of this is it's a relatively small study. More importantly, we actually don't know whether this is a temporary delaying the psychosis, whether that, because this is just followed for 2 years. We don't know after 2 or 3 years whether those there are more patients will still convert to psychosis. But that's one of the latest treatment research. The next slide, I will show you another study almost published in the same time. Their idea is very similar, But however, it's using a specialized cognitive behavior therapy that focuses on helping the person to normalize the unusual experience, make them more aware of the cognitive bias they experienced as a way to try to prevent transition to psychosis. And you can see that comparing to the comparison group, this approach can also help. So for those people, audience, and especially clinicians are interested to understand more about the detailed research, I have the citation at the bottom of the slides, and it may be good to go over in greater detail to understand the pros and cons of the research. The last research I want to show you as an example, it's a relatively well-known study now, is that there's a group of patients were enrolled in a clinical trial using a long-chain omega-3 polyunsaturated fatty acid. So the idea is that whether omega-3 fish oil can help to reduce the conversion to psychosis. So this is a study that have two groups. A patient can take placebo, a patient can take fish oil, and then they follow them for about 1.5 years and to see, these are all prodrome patients, to see which group have more conversion to psychosis. So this study, it's a very interesting result. It is shown that 2 out of 41 individuals in the treatment group with fish oil converted to psychosis, versus 11 out of the 40 individuals in the placebo group converted to psychosis. So you can see that there is seems to have an effect by the fish oil to prevent some of the patients from converted to psychosis. Now, a couple of caveats. One is that still a lot of patients converted to psychosis, regardless of treatment. Two is that, again, it's a relatively short-term study. We don't know in the long term whether those patients may still convert to psychosis. So this three example, really the goal is to try to give you an evidence-based sense of where the field is, the state of art is. So the question then is that can drug and therapy help to prevent conversion to psychosis? So I would say that there are reports of encouraging examples of success. However, most of these reports await replication. Their analysis of combination of available data to show the evidence of success by different intervention is not as convincing as we hope. Again, there's a citation there to give a very detailed description of each of the available studies, and you can refer to that. Another important point is that even if this prevention can help to reduce conversion to psychosis, for the foreseeable future, most individuals prone to have psychosis will still develop psychosis. So it comes down to the important emphasis is that what is the best treatment if the patient develop first episode psychosis? What is most important? So there's a few points that actually are relatively clear cut in most experts in this field. One is that we think pharmacological treatment is most important and most cost effective to control psychosis and to prevent relapse. There's meta-analysis. Meta-analysis basically just mean that people summarize all the available published studies. It really shows that first generation versus second generation antipsychotics are almost equally effective. So this refers to first generation is older generation of antipsychotic medication. The second generation is the newer generation of antipsychotic medication. Most of these studies show that it really doesn't matter that much. They are almost equally effective. The difference is the side effect from these different medications. And unfortunately, they all have a lot of side effects. Okay? So it comes down to balance the risk versus benefit ratio. In most patients develop first episode psychosis, the benefit of taking antipsychotic medication outweighs the risk of the side effects. Once we give people adequate treatment with antipsychotic medication, they get better, and some even become symptom-free. So the next question is that, should the patient stop medication? It's the first question a family will ask, a patient will ask, certainly clinicians will ask. Now, for that, I can actually give a very simple answer. The answer really is no, not in principle. Now, the next question is that, will patient listen? Unfortunately, often not. We understand that. It's a very important area, especially for clinicians, if listening to this, on how to manage these patients. We have to understand that it's very natural for a person to have an illness, they receive medication, they got better. They want to stop the medication. It's a natural response, okay? So we have to really understand that from the patient and from the family's perspective in order for us to effectively manage the patients who try to stop medication, okay? Now, in some cases, I would say in a relatively small portion of patients, they could have a persistent, long-term, complete remission, meaning like they really symptom-free for a long, long time. For those patients, reducing dose or stopping medication could be considered. But I would say the jury is still out. We still don't have a good way to tell whether a person stopped medication, they will or will not relapse, okay? So it should be done very cautiously. So how do we balance that? So for most of the clinicians in a specialty care clinic like ours, we really try to balance it through several ways. First of all, by working with the patient and the family together, the important thing to consider is the patient autonomy, because taking medication or not, in most of cases, is the patient's decision. Versus what is the evidence out there? As the evidence out there is that we should have assertive treatment recommendation to the patients. So these are the balance we have to, that's the most important part, is that the patient autonomy versus what is the evidence-based treatment recommendations. It's very important to build a strong alliance with patients and family, regardless what the patient's current decision is. The reason for that is very simple. It's unfortunately most patients who decide to stop medication early against the treatment team's advice, many of them relapse, have the psychosis reoccur. So even the patient try to stop the medication the first time, it's very important to keep a good alliance with the patient and their family. So if they have more symptoms, they will come back and receive immediate treatment. Another way we can boil it down to the best way to manage first episode chronic, there's many opinions, but there's two principles I think most experts in the field agree, okay? The first principle is the sooner the treatment begins after first episode psychosis, shorter the duration of untreated psychosis, better the outcome. And the second principle is that more comprehensive, high quality pharmacology, therapy, psychological, psychosocial intervention, better the recovery. So the first principle is that what we call reducing the duration of untreated psychosis. So again, there's this meta-analysis. Again, it's a summarize of many research papers on the issue. The conclusion is actually the following. One is the shorter the duration of the untreated psychosis, greater the response to antipsychotic medication. Meaning like if the person have a first episode psychosis experience, if sooner they come to treatment, they got medication, they got better response. Conversely, longer the untreated psychosis, more severe in what we call negative symptoms. These are the patients that have a lack of motivation, lack of interest in school and work and social interaction. So the longer their psychosis is untreated, the more severe are those symptoms. Interestingly, the duration is not necessarily related to severity of what we call passive symptoms like hallucination and delusions, or brain changes or cognitive impairments. The second principle is comprehensive, sustained treatment and therapy. Antipsychotic medication reduce symptoms, reduce disability associated with the symptoms, and reduce the chance of relapse. So this is, again, it's an emphasis, it's antipsychotic medication. The reason that we're emphasizing that is that this kind of medication does have a lot of side effects that turn patients away, turn family away. But again, even with all these drawbacks, it still is the best way at this point to manage for people first develop a severe psychosis. The other treatment are very important is the comprehensive therapy and psychosocial support. They improve recovery and reduce disability. Many of our patients do return to school, obtain full-time employment after first break of psychosis. If they follow this regimen, treatment, intensive therapy, intensive psychosocial support interventions. And that's really our primary goal, is that we try to treat them aggressively, comprehensively, with the common goal of return our patient to their normal life that they are supposed to have, which is regain employment, return to school, finish school. To do that, one of the important aspects is to long-term management of the side effect, because many patients do need to take medication in order to prevent another episode of psychosis. So a lot of them will develop side effects. So how to manage these side effects from this medication is actually very important. Now I'm trying to move a little bit more specific for the clinic within our program called the First Episode Clinic. You can actually have access to our website. Type in firstepisodeclinic.org. It's located at the Maryland Psychiatric Research Center. It's part of the University of Maryland School of Medicine Department of Psychiatry. The First Episode Clinic is the first specialty care First Episode Clinic in the state of Maryland. We provide the expert clinical service for adolescents age 12 and up, and certainly all the older age adolescents, young adults. And we are treating patients when they have first episode, but we also take care of them in the next few months, next few years. Our goal really is a true recovery model. The treatment is not dependent about how long. It's whatever the case is required. Could be a few weeks, could be a few months. Many of our patients can stay with us for a few years. Our model is returning the patient to employment, to finishing school. Those are our ultimate goal, and by our experience, that really is the ultimate goal of most of our patients, their families. We place strong emphasis in evidence-based first episode clinical care that I had tried to emphasize in the first part of this talk, that including antipsychotic medication treatment, family support, psychosocial therapy. We also provide a statewide consultation service. I'm going to spend a little bit of time to introduce that service as well, for those who don't know it. On a more practical level, what a patient should expect when they attend our clinic. There's several components of the care. One is therapy. We have therapists to see patient. Initially, it could be once or twice a week. Later on, when the patient become better, we can do every other week, every month, and so on and so forth. The second part is psychiatric care. We have expert specialized first episode psychosis. And both in adolescents as well as in young adults. Again, this kind of a psychiatric care can start with a weekly visit, later on can be every other weeks, later on can be monthly. For patients that have become very stable, it can be the interval can last even longer. We also emphasize a lot on group therapy. There's several ways we organize it depending on our client's need. We offer these group sessions for patients with similar experience to share their experience, for example, to talk about how to manage school, manage work when still having these symptoms. We actually do a lot of family-oriented group therapy. This is actually very important, especially for our parents and even friends who have a first family member that experienced this kind of illnesses. They need a lot of support. So we typically group parents who had a child that have this kind of illness for a few years with parents really just have the child have illness first time. So they share the experience, and that's actually a very good way to help family members to understand the illnesses as the illness as well as how to manage it and what to expect. We provide a statewide consultation service. So the clinic accept consultation requests from schools, typically high schools, from college, community college, and regular colleges. And we also accept a referral from psychiatrists in the community, from primary care, from pediatric care, or from a state institution. For example, very often people will have difficult cases about come to a diagnosis or whether the patient is receiving the best treatment. So they will ask us for opinion. So we'll provide a consultation on diagnosis, on treatment recommendation, and on school and family management. We could do it over the phone, but very typically we invite the patient or the clinician, if they want to come with the patient, they can come. We provide them with an on-site visit. Typically people come once, twice, or three times. Depending on how difficult the case. And after that, we'll provide a detailed written consultation report to help the clinician to manage the case. We are located at a research center, so the clinic have a heavy emphasis and belief as well that the best treatment we can provide to the patient is through the best research to advance the knowledge so that we can gradually improve our care more and more. So the research mission, there's several. One is that we use cutting-edge brain imaging, clinical trial, neuropsychological, neurophysiological research to understand the illness. We identify how stress response is associated with gender differences in age of onset, in why some people recover much faster versus other patients have problem lingering for a long time. So we do a longitudinal study to understand how the brain responds to treatment, how the functional response to how the person's social and clinical function change in response to treatment. So I will conclude by saying the following. One is that finding better treatment for psychosis, especially early psychosis, really is the top priority, not just for our clinic or our program, but also for National Institute of Health and many national research institutions. And the field is making rapid progress in finding the cause and treatment. On the other hand, we do lack substantially new, more effective treatments. That's also the limitation. The last point is that the available medication and therapy are effective for improving symptoms and reducing disability when appropriately managed. So the last slide really is to give you a little bit more referral information. So if people need to schedule an intake appointment with the clinic or try to schedule a consultation, and the contact information and the website information are on the slide. Thank you for attending to this.